On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts. Won't you come and talk to me
for a little while? Well, you're making me crazy. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Fridays at 4, we have George Mayhew on from St. Louis Magazine. He's here now. We're going to talk to George, but first I have a story to tell you. Apropos of the tariffs, which is really, I think, going to piss you off. Howard Lutnick, I can't stand Howard Lutnick. He is the Secretary of Commerce for the United States of America. He's the guy that decided it would be a good idea to lie about his relationship with Epstein. And it came out that he took his family and his kids to have lunch with Epstein on his island after he got out of jail.
Yeah.
So this guy used to be the CEO of a very well-known financial institution, and he stepped down, and now it's his family, it's his sons. And it just came out that this institution, guided by his sons, wink, wink, bet against the tariffs. And so he invested in the refunds that we would have to give if the Supreme Court ruled against the administration. So he and his firm and his kids stand to make tens and tens of millions of dollars if people sue and get their money back, because he's somehow making money on the refunds.
So this is almost exactly like the people that bet against the housing market.
Yes.
In the 2000s.
People who made money shorting airline stocks after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, this is essentially just an abuse of government position.
Yeah.
And this is why you shouldn't be allowed to have any kind. That should be jail time. When you're in an administration and feeding inside information to a private company, I don't care if it's your kids or not. It's insider trading of some form, right? Maybe it's technically not that because it's the what do you call it? The short market, as opposed to just. But like, how is that okay? If that's okay, then it's okay for everybody who's in power to manipulate the system for their own financial gain, which is exactly what's happening all across the board. And
crazy.
Yeah. And then
just crazy.
We sit here and fight about dumb things.
Yes.
While they're just all enriching themselves with our
richer
money.
Richer and richer and laughing at us.
Yeah. Well, talk about more fun things. Georgie, as you know, we're taking a year off from the DGS Catholic Fish Fry Smackdown because we're just tired. And
I was wondering. We're just tired. Just time for a break.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, you said Happy Friday, and I almost interjected. Happy Fish Friday.
Yeah.
We
thought about doing a potato salad competition, but then we're like, it doesn't have the sex. We'll be back next year. So. Do you have some reports on the fish fries?
Well, I'm here with it, you know, whether you are or not. It's time, you know, but it's so, and we talk about this every year too, it's daunting. I mean, there's a map out there now that's got 130 pins in it, and it's so dense, it looks solid because there's too many pins, but it's 130 plus this year, and we just like, how do we handicap this? What do we do? So, Cheryl and I, we picked a dozen, and that's about the only way you can do it. It's like, okay, that's enough for people to get through. If you want to just attack it and you know, just look at our list, and here's a place to start, so you're not just throwing, you know, darts at the board. So that's what we did. But this is, you know, as an overview, I saw something today that I thought, I wish I would have thought of. It's called Fish Fry STL. Did you guys talk about this?
No. Mm-mm.
It's a crowdsourced database that it's got, you can sign up, you can sign your fish fry up for it. I think there's 67 fish fries on it now, but you can weigh in. If you go to the, you know, St. Cecilia's Fish Fry and say, you know, there's a 2-hour line here, you can chime in real time, and people can see that and go, oh, no, we're not going to St. Cecilia today because it's a 2-hour wait. And it's a real time, app, I guess, that, you know, gives you the correct hours. It gives you the status. Are they running low on something? You people can chime in with whatever they want. I just had the best cod I ever had, whatever it is. But I really like that idea because that's always, if you've ever done that, gone to a fish fry and gone, the line's too long. Let's go somewhere else. And you go somewhere else, and the line's longer, and you spend your time driving around and standing in line.
You know what? I have never been to a fish fry other than one time. I went to ICD because I'm always working, and we're doing fish fry competitions. I went to the Legion in Wood River, Illinois, every Friday of my childhood for a great fish fry, which brings me to my question. I know some Catholic churches have fish fries all year long, but why don't all of them? And it seems like a big moneymaker.
It's a huge moneymaker, and the reason is labor.
Okay.
It's all volunteer labor, and even if it wasn't, it's a big ask. And I saw somebody, one of the parishes, it was really interesting. It just shows you how intricate it is. They had their sign-up sheet posted online, and here, do you want to help us make coleslaw? Do you want to help us batter the fish? And it had all these, it was this massive spreadsheet, and it went on for days, and I thought, this is just one parish, and this is just one, you know, this is one week.
Maureen did it several years at ICD, but one year she had the worst job. I guess there's just a giant vat of fish in like water, and she had to like take it out with her hands and put it over here for hours.
And that was her job?
That was her job.
See, this is why people don't want to do this.
That's the scud end.
So, yeah, and then the guys had breaded, and it's all hand-breaded, you know, and you got your, I guess people are
labor
gloved,
intensive.
But it is. But
are you impressed as a former restaurateur how well they pull it off?
Yeah, it's nothing short of amazing, and some of them have made a real science of it. We've talked about Our Lady of the Pillar, that they've got these twin lines, two lines, and everything's just like boom, boom, and boom. Somebody's hand goes up, and somebody runs out some cod to that
guy.
Yeah, no, wait, the spaghetti guy's out. Somebody fly. It's like a machine, and a lot of it, it's really fun to see, because there's one guy whose job is to do nothing but keep these people liquored up and just, you know, here, make sure these guys are happy.
I know you will get this. My secret MVP of St. Louis fish fries is spaghetti. A really good sweet sauce spaghetti with a fish fry is mwah.
You know what? I couldn't disagree with
you
more on that.
You don't care about the spaghetti?
No. I thought, why spaghetti? I know it's a thing, and we've had some really good ones here.
Yeah, we have.
Really have, but I've never, it's something that I would just, I'll go for the potato salad, and I'll go for the beans, and I'll do all that other stuff, but spaghetti's never turned me on. I thought it was to pacify the kids. So.
Oh, well, but that makes sense for me.
But one of our we called it the winningest fish fry. Immaculate Conception of Darden.
There you go.
And it said, and it's, you're quoted, and you're not quoted here, but they're calling you the fish fry kingmaker.
That's right.
And it was taking a break this year, features, you know, so on and so forth. But ICD, did they win the last 2 years?
It's the main reason we took a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. And that's what Cheryl wrote. And I thought, gosh, I just, you know, I lose track of time. But anyway, you can't go wrong with the Cajun catfish, grilled shrimp, or delicious spaghetti. Dave Glover must have written this. So,
yeah.
So there you go. But we picked a dozen, and everything's, you know, each one has their little thing. And I love that there's a couple that actually, they make it a thing to serve on china plates and real silver and real saucers and cups. And that's
there's some work.
Yeah, think about that. It's hard enough just to throw the trash out with all
that dishwasher.
How about that? So anyway, check out this, on STLMag.com. We've got our favorite dozen there. And
Good. And
start with St. Cecilia like everybody does.
But right.
There's another Mexican one.
Work from there.
There's one, Our Lady of Guadalupe up north kind of does the same thing on a smaller scale. So if you like the tamales and you know, chili rellenos and things like that go up there. But
is dishwasher the worst position in a restaurant?
Yeah, I mean it's hot, it's sweaty, it's, you know, people throw stuff at you, and you know, it's just, but it's, you know what, it's also one of the most valuable. Do you know why? Because the chef and the owner will come back and say, what's coming back. You know, what are you seeing?
Or the leftovers?
What's not being eaten?
What's in the bus tub? What's on the plate?
Never had that
thought. Need to know that. Or the dish guys will sometimes go, you know, we're seeing a lot of spaghetti come back tonight. Something, you know, so they're it's a valuable position. And you know, any good restaurant training program, you know, I just remember when I went through it, I spent a full 40-hour week at the dish station. And that was part of the training.
Yeah.
And you take everything apart, you put it back together. You know, here's what happens when the disposal clogs up, you do this, you can do that. And, you know, I learned all these tricks. And when the disposal clogged one night, I took a broom handle and just jammed it down in there and it freed it up.
Jeez.
And everybody's going, what the hell did you just do? I go, turn the disposal back on. And it worked perfectly. And I walked away and I said,
if you guys drop a spoon in your trash compact or whatever it is, do you reach in and get it?
Depends on how it's laying. So, like, if it's sticking upright, sure, because then my hand's not getting down by the blades. But if it's down there, I'm going to use tongs to pull them out.
Even when it's off? I mean, you don't put it in a live.
Oh God, no! Oh.
Oh, I see. If the thing's off, I'm reaching in there big time and moving. You know, moving around. It's,
yeah. I'm always
afraid it's like a propeller. That if I move the fan,
it just
a little
picks
bit.
Up the speed.
Yes.
And in part of it too is not just whether it's moving. I mean, a lot of times it's pointy or it's sharp, and you can still cut yourself if you're not careful.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sometimes what's down there is what's causing the problem.
Boy, that would be a
piece of glass.
It happened. That happened to me a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I dropped something or hit something on the granite countertop. It fell right down into the disposal and then jammed the disposal. So it wasn't spinning anymore, and I had to figure out how to do that. You don't do that from in the top there. You do that from the underneath side. That's how you don't get yourself hurt.
All right.
I learned the hard way. You know, I spent a whole bunch of extra money buying the quietest disposal that I could buy because that's important, right? And the only difference between that and the other disposals is the little rubber-like bung that goes in there. You take that thing out, and it sounds like a jet engine, and you put it back in there, and it's quiet as it can
be.
So
it's just the cap being on there that does it.
Yeah, for $200.
Oh.
Or whatever it was.
It's called a bung?
Well, I call it a bung, but, you know, that's a bung's a... like a big cork. Don't you remember science class?
Wait, I only know bunghole.
So I was going to say, is that where that came from?
I guess the hole
that the bung fits into?
I guess.
Is that what that is?
We just learned something.
Wow, okay.
I've been quoting Beavis on that for so long, and I did not know what a bunghole actually was.
Right.
I thought it was, you know.
Yeah.
Now we all know.
New every day.
Yeah. It's, you know. I learned what the hammer was. I didn't know when you got the hammer. Have you heard that expression? Well, he's got the hammer. It means you've got the advantage. You've got the advantage. Yeah. That's a curling term. You got the hammer means you throw last.
Oh.
And when you're looking at the curling, there's a little hammer next to the guy that throws. I didn't know that as old as I am. And I've heard that expression for decades.
Man.
He's got the hammer.
I cannot believe I didn't actually know what a bunghole was until now.
Of all the people who should know,
I
it's
know.
You. Thank you, Georgie.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, TGS 424. Happy Friday. So, USA is up 6-1 with 9 minutes left in the semifinal. Canada's already in, right?
Yes. Canada won earlier.
So, barring anything crazy, Sunday should be a hell of a sports day.
7 a.m., man. Of course, I won't see it till about 11.
All right.
I'll wake up at 10:30.
I'm going to text you about 9 and tell you what happened.
Don't do that. I won't. Honestly, God, I will not even look at my phone before I watch the game.
Really?
Yeah.
What if I have an emergency and need you?
Then you'll have to call me, and I know you'll never do that.
That's right.
What if I got a phone call from Dave, I know something's wrong.
You know.
Something's wrong.
Time to put the pants on.
7-4.
I'm like getting my keys. Like he needs help. That's why he's calling.
Dave needs me to beat somebody up. I love that scene in The Town where Ben Affleck comes in to Jeremy Renner, and he's like, I need you to help me hurt some people, and you can never ask me why. And he's like, whose car are we taking?
That's called being a bro.
That's right.
Actually, he said, whose car are we taking?
It's been a big show for you today.
Has it?
Yeah. You've been very funny.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I appreciate the chuckles.
I felt very strongly about Punch the Monkey in ways that I didn't actually realize until...
Yeah, we're going to replay it for you here in a minute. I sent that segment to several people, and they all really thought it was funny.
It should be up for an award.
Yeah. Look, most radio shows today talked about Punch the Monkey. No one... with the passion that the DGS did.
That is probably true.
You guys are about to hear. So I sent it to Lally, and she's like, oh, I love a good Andrew Wheeler fight. And I said, just wait.
Yeah.
There's a third combatant.
I was on the outside of the fight, just throwing bombs from the perimeter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
I was fed up.
Listen, do not mess with Razor.
Yeah, you've been taking his crap all week.
I was going to say, she's tired of my garbage.
It was the final straw.
She's tired of my garbage.
She's like, that's it. This is it. No more. No more!
Today's National Love Your Pet Day.
Yeah, that's every day.
I'm just looking at a picture of Lucy right now because...
Done and done.
Google Photos will show you, like, on this day 5 years ago, and guys, look how beautiful she is.
She's a poser.
She's looking gorgeous.
She definitely has she almost got the model, like,
she
chin
is a model.
Down turn, you know, like,
Absolutely.
Speaking of pets, Moses went in today for dental work.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. No.
So
he'll be sleepy tonight.
Yeah. Haven't heard yet how he's doing.
Yeah.
You didn't have to get any pulled, did he?
I haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
how old is Moses?
Oh, he's like six.
Oh, he probably had a couple then.
Okay.
He's going to be real high.
You know what, though? Maybe not. Because our dogs didn't really start having them get pulled until they were like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And now they're 14, 15.
He just can't eat another sock.
Yeah. No.
He's had his last sock.
Yeah, you can't do
that. I'm $5,000 in on socks.
They're picking little bits of sock out of his teeth.
Yeah. My kid works at an emergency vet. She's like, it's all the time.
Oh, I bet.
Dogs always are getting in trouble for stuff like that.
He basically has 2 inches from his mouth to his butthole mouth. Like, they've taken out so much of his intestines.
He's just outside the backyard eating and then just...
It's just a straight line.
Getting right to
just
it.
Just put a bucket
right
in
through
there
him.
He's eating.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.